You gotta tell a story. This happened outside the garden this very night, tonight.
What happened?
Bill was outside, and I gotta let him tell the story.
And a pretty girl came
up. It's not the other night or something, it's right now. It was immediate,
Bill?
And
I was just, I don't know, every time we go into a building, maybe it's wrong, we take it very personally. There are certain things we do automatically, even though other people take care of the security and the lights and the sound, whatever. I just have a bad habit of going, you know, around the building and seeing what's going on. So I just happened to be standing out front, and two young ladies walked in, 16, 17 years old, and just, so they were 10, 12 feet away, and this guy just came along, and one girl had the two tickets in her hand. They just, you know, whisked them away from them. He ran down the street, and the girl shrieked, and it's a very bad habit I've had. I don't stop. I get very schizo, and I don't think about the danger. It's not that I'm far from heroic. I think I'm either cowardly sometimes, but in those moments, I just freak, and this guy started running down the street, and I just ran after him, and I caught him at 35th and 8th. When I got there, I sort of landed on his back on one side, and he had the other hand outstretched with the tickets, and I grabbed the ticket hand, and he sort of threw me over his back, and the two of us landed there like two schmucks. We're just lying there, and he ran off, and I had the two tickets in my hand, and I was going to continue to chase, and I said, the hell, because my pants were ripped, and I got a little banged up. But then I came back for the four or five blocks, and I looked for the girls, and I saw them in front of the buildings, and I said, just, you know, here are the tickets. And the leg was bad enough. The two of them jumped on me for joy, which was more painful than the thing that went down with the guy, and they just got the tickets and went inside. I'm too old for that kind of stuff.
But they did love you, didn't they?
Almost as much damage, actually. What the end result, Sam, was his leg is all bandaged, and he really took a fall.
Yeah, well, that's promotion in the modern day and age.
Speaking of promotion, Bill, this is your first show back in New York since the closing of the Fillmore. Do you think that possibly we'll see some more Bill Graham production? No, it's not.
Let's put it this way: there's all this talk, you know. Over the years, who owes what to who, and capitalist and rip-off or goodies, and who are the baddies. The Dead and I have been friends for years. They said they were going to play New York. Would you like to do it with us? It's as simple as that. Friends from back home came to New York, to the Big Apple. No, you can't say friendship. I got a better terminology. Let's call it warm animosity. How's that?
Friendly enemies.
I mean, the dead family, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. They're like a pate. Once in a while, you got to have that to find out what good things are all about.
Do you have any observations? I'm sure you do on the whole simulcast situation that we're doing tonight. Do you think it's a good idea and things?
There's no other solution. You could play in a 90,000 people stadium, and nobody would get anything. This way, you're playing to a good sized house with a good price. And the people that can't get in can hear it. It's the only solution. There is no other. There are records, you know. But for the liveness, short of coming to New York for a month and playing every night to satisfy everybody, this is the best thing you can do. And I think the groups to be commended. I think the stations are to be commended. And I think the record companies to be commended. It's a very good thing.
On all ends, it was a fine job.
Yeah.
How many do you think? A ridiculous question from an Englishman, but I know nothing about American radio stations. How many people do you think conservatively would once say were listening to this at this moment?
Now,
we're going door to door right now.
I tell you what, Sam, and I think it's important. The British accent is from Sam Cutler. Actually, and I know the group expressed this, so I'm going to drop this line now, and again toward the end of the program.
Uh-huh.
But the Dead would like to hear comment from the people who had a chance to hear the whole concert tonight uninterrupted, right through the new writers, right on through to the end. They would really like to hear from everyone who had the opportunity to hear the concert free. So send a postcard or a letter. Now that'll be your answer. I'll say roughly there's 3 to 5 million now as a bottom line. As a bottom line.
We'll give them,
I don't know what
we're
going to do with
3 or 5 million letters.
We'll give them all a sticker.
Right.
No, send them on film.
Middle of the night.
No, but I'm really serious, and they did say they wondered if the people really appreciated it, and I think a way to find out is to ask them if you do appreciate what's happening tonight, uninterrupted, doing a thing right on and with the most magnificent mix and sound that you people, the Dead, have put together, and the whole thing, and the problems that we had before behind the scenes, most listeners are not aware of, but trying to get it together, to pull it off with a telephone strike, with all sorts of other things, to have it come off in not that much notice is really, was miraculous. And to hear the sound, as we've been doing, is...
I'm also impressed by the lack of advertisements. In England, of course, there is no commercial radio as such, so one is lulled into an uninterrupted sequence of radio programming, and it's really nice to see that, just once in a while. It's an expensive luxury, as we all know, but once in a while it's really nice to see open air time that's devoted to one thing in depth, without promotion.
John, the Grateful Dead have been doing live concerts for a long time, live simulcast. How long ago did they start?
I guess it started about a year and a half ago at Winterland when we did a radio television, quadraphonic radio and television color simulcast.
Is that the one with the airplane?
Yeah, right. And then there was one after that on New Year's that was also live in... Los Angeles and San Francisco, those were the first ones we did with those two. They were very good. They had their bugs in them, but they were very good. They were excellent. So then we got the idea of alleviating some of the problems on the road with playing in, we don't like to play in huge halls, because the sound's not at its best. So, but if you play in small halls and you overdraw the hall, you have problems outside. But if you have a simulcast, everybody gets to hear the music, and the people here get to hear it live and in the hall, so it works out very well.
I think it's a good idea, and I think that they should, if you really appreciate what's happening tonight as listeners out there, to do a card to the Grateful Dead at WNEW-FM in New York, just a card saying thank you, and a one-word comment, what you thought about it, heavy, great, whatever, do it, and we'll take the bags of mail.
This is WNAW-FM in New York, Metro Media Stereo at 102.7. This is Dennis Elsis. We're back at the studio, and we're waiting to return to the Garden live for the continuation of the Grateful Dead concert. Just a recap, in case you tuned in late tonight. We started off at 8, and we heard the new Riders of the Purple Sage for about an hour and 20 minutes or so. Then we had about a 15 or 20-minute break, and then the Grateful Dead set part 1. You were listening to an interview before conducted by Scott Muni and Mike Klempner with some of the people that surround the Dead, Sam Cutler and Rock Scully and Bill Graham and a whole bunch of other people. And we are awaiting. We are awaiting within moments to return for the Grateful Dead concert part 2. Again, it's coming to you live over WNAW-FM in New York.
Don't you have the same old story? It's the same old pride, and you got some heavy dues to pay.
Okay, sorry to interrupt the Steve Miller Band and Space Cowboy. This is Dennis Elsis, WNAW-FM in New York, and we're going back live to Madison Square Garden.
Hello, Scott Muni with Mike Klempner. We're back at Madison Square Garden at the Felt Forum, and we're backstage, actually. It's a crowded backstage, and there's great activity. We're at intermission with the Dead. They take a brief break in between.
There's little fooling around over the microphones now. The Dead sound men and and the group and Mr. Graham are sort of having a little
tete-a-tete. It's happening tonight because of Bill Graham, because of Warner Brothers and the Grateful Dead and Columbia and New Riders of Purple Sage, the broadcast that you're listening to. And we're happy that it is uninterrupted.
You mentioned something before about sending cars to the Dead of you, which is a very good point. And pointing it to NEW and to the Dead mainly, is that most of the mass audience is always so opportunistic to jump on negatives. Something was ripped off, the sound was no good, the ticket prices were too high, we didn't get what we were supposed to. And people always gripe. Everybody is ready to gripe always, but very few people are ready to, when something good happens, like what you're doing, what the Dead are doing. And I think it would be a very nice gesture towards the station and toward the Dead to really let the people know them, let them know how they feel about that, because the only thing you ever hear is from the mass is when they're disappointed in something.
Right, right.
So what you brought up was a very good point.
An hour is a free six-hour concert, roughly.
It's not that. It would be a nice feeling, I think, for the group and for the station to know that, hey, for every 17 times we do something wrong, we always hear. You know, when something good comes along, it would be nice, you know, for them to do that.
Okay.
It's Christmas time anyway.
Bill Graham said it, and he said it beautifully. So drop us a note if you're happy with what happened tonight. You're turned on to it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think the dead would more than appreciate hearing from us, and it would be a nice gesture all around, a little Christmas card or whatever. But we've got probably about another 5-6 minutes, so I guess
yeah,
we're going to sort of do a little stalling here. Or
Rock Scully, who
John has, McIntyre.
And John from the group, who have been so instrumental in setting up over a series of experiments and some long, hard hours and some great equipment to come up with a sound tonight that beats anything I've ever heard on radio in stereo by far. I mean, take it from a symphonic orchestra right on down. This is it. And for live, anyone who's really got the equipment already knows what we're talking about because they've been into it, and we'll get into it in the final part of the concert.
I guess we should thank again Bob Matthews.
He's the one that makes it come out so clear because his mix is miraculous, right? That's Bob
absolutely
Matthews.
Absolutely fantastic.
Alembic Sound.
He does all our records, and he's been with us in every city on this tour. This is the first part of our last leg of three tours, and we've been doing these concerts in every town.
With
a simulcast, right. Yeah, and it's been great because we've been able to play all the fine theaters with the best acoustics, sell out way ahead of time, and let everybody know over the radio that they'll be able to hear it. And then perhaps in the summertime we'll be able to see everybody outdoors, you know. It's the way we like to do it. In the meanwhile, we put our records out there, and we got Warner Brothers to go along, Columbia to go along, in helping defray the cost of these broadcasts so that we could bring the concerts to a lot of people.
And the people should possibly know that these live broadcasts are not inexpensive. They're quite expensive.
And in New York, and we had a telephone strike too. And most people don't know, but telephone lines are part of the thing in getting a broadcast from somewhere where there is no studio. Although that's not the only way to do it, but it is the only way we could do it under the circumstances. So I think what we're really trying to find out is if the audience that is there now is appreciative and wants more,
right,
then we got to know it. If you want it, you know.
I would say this, that the audience at home is probably laying back as far as the audience is laying back here, because they're just sort of anticipating a great second half. And this was just a fine first set.
The pause that refreshes.
Really, really.
Everybody hanging about, getting ready to play again. Garcia's sitting over on the steps. Warming up.
I think with the sound mix, the setup with the microphones and all, to the point where you can hear even reaction from individuals in the audience as well as
on
the clarity
stage,
on stage, is just incredible, you know, right down to the instruments and the solos.
I think a lot has to do with the audience here, too. They seem to feed it back, and they know a lot of the songs and sing them out, and so we get a tremendous feeling in the hall. It really sounds big, you know.
Well, as they say in the old trade, you ain't heard nothing yet, because what they're talking about doing after this intermission is going to be something again. So
they're just about going up on stage. I guess it'll be another 2 minutes or so till they tune up.
They'll probably burst out with Truckin', which is our ever-popular single that was brought out a year ago and is picking up a lot of steam. Through some very, very strange trips went down behind that single. In California, Buzz Bennett at a station in San Diego took that, made a jingle out of it, and it became a hit song on his station, and he took it into Los Angeles, and it got picked up, and now it's playing in a lot of cities. It's a great song, but it's old. It's off of American Beauty album.
When can we expect another Grateful Dead album?
The next one?
Yeah.
Gee, well, we'll
Let's
decide that after
tonight's show.
Right. It'd be sometime, let me see. We're going to be in Europe in April and May, you know, so it'd have to be like in March. Around about March, I guess. That's when we'll record it, so it'd be out a couple months.
We have a Jerry Garcia album all in the can, and artwork finished and stuff will come out in January.
Right. Tremendous one, that's really
fun. We're on stage now and waiting for get the cue and give it to Bill.
The lights are out, but they want the lights back on so that, you know, it's only a performer knows what it is to be on stage in the dark and right. break your leg or exactly. knock your shin on one of those amps or something. It's a little tough.
Last night he was rather peeved.
As you heard, we're waiting for Pigpen.
What is so obvious now is the crowd is almost totally quiet. And then you will see instant reaction the minute the first note, and they get into Truckin', I guess, if that's what you say they're going to do, the minute they'll hit Truckin', you'll hear. And this again, as we said, at the Felt Forum, the capacity is near 5,000 compared to, say, 20,000 in the main part of the garden. So this audience is a great group for so small in numbers, as you've probably heard by now throughout the whole concert.
It's just
really
like starting the late show at the Fillmore.
Right. Yeah,
again, let's say our thanks to Warners and to Columbia and to everybody who helped get it together tonight on very short notice and not that much time, but the end result is what counts. And if somewhere along the way you found some pleasure in it, if you let us know, we're going to try to get it together again. As a matter of fact,
I think it did us all good trusting each other, you know?
Yes,
through long distance phone calls and everything.
And Rock, as Rock Scully said, tomorrow, Mike, you and I'm Rock and everybody and Sam will get together and let's try another one.
Yeah, well,
because
you know,
it's great, it's beautiful.
Right, we're doing Winterland, Bill Graham's Winterland out in San Francisco, and we're going to broadcast that on KSAN and KMET, your sister stations out on the West Coast, and that'll be tremendous. We had great response last year when we hooked that into TV and really had a wonderful time.
That was a five-hour show or something.
That went on forever.
Right.
The thing went on. I think the TV cut out about 3 in the morning, but the radio went all night.
Is that when the TV station at 3 in the morning cut off, went off the air, and then they put the Stag movies on? Was that the same night?
No, I think the Stag movies were on stage.
That was a beautiful
I think the Stag movies were on at the same time.
That was one of the, the radio boners they've made albums and they've done prize things about some of the goofs. But that one was a real weird left field job. That was as soon as the station signed off the air, they got right into their old Stag movies. Only they were still on the air.
Okay, we're ready to pick up in just about a minute.
Great, and of course you know it's the Grateful Dead. We're live at Felt Forum in New York City at the Garden on WNEW-FM. Mike Klempner has done a great job of putting it together with the help of everybody here through the Dead.
Rock Scully.
And Rock and everybody has just been all day and all night with it. And I hope that you enjoy the final results of same. And I do want to mention our entire staff at WNEW-FM because I'm here representing them and taking every minute of it because it's been some wild night. And it's come off and it's come off great.
It's been a really fine night and it's just about starting.
We'll go back up to stage now, and I think the minute they start... You-